Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
How do I know when you reach victory and you do everything right, you get a chance to win? We talk about, you know, hey, don't rep one.
No,
the hell with that man. Let's go!
That's head coach Gus Bradley in a victorious locker room Sunday afternoon at EverBank Field. This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. That exclusive content on Jaguars.com if you want to watch the whole thing. Jaguars win it 24-6 over the Cleveland Browns. We'll break the whole game down. Defense dominant again, but even more so this week than normal. Running game was there. Denard Robinson had a huge day. A couple of losses, though, for this team on defense. Two injuries starting to stack up a little bit. We'll get to all that coming up.
Has there been a better defense the last 3 weeks than the Jaguars defense?
Playing good.
Has there been a better defense? They've allowed two offensive touchdowns in the last two games.
Well, let me think. The Colts shut out the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, you have to put in context to who they play. I'm just saying in a body of work.
Yeah, they're
better. I'm by no means saying this is the best defense in the NFL. I'm saying playing right now.
They also played the Titans and the Browns.
The Steelers were the fourth offense
coming in. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. I'm saying the last 3 weeks.
Oh, it's the last 3 weeks. Yeah, playing better.
Two offensive touchdowns in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
is my
good.
Point.
They're playing good football. By the way, is anybody check on Tony Khan? When I saw the video in the locker room, I was afraid that he would get hurt in there. I mean,
TK is a tough guy. He
did
went
you
in
see
there.
They were bouncing him around in there a little bit.
He went in there and got messy.
He did. I love Tony, but man, I'm down there and they showed it at halftime or one of the games or something in the 4 o'clock games. And I looked over and they go, all the guys in the room, they go, who is that little guy? I go, it's Tony Khan. He's in the middle of it. I worried about Tony. I should have sent him a text. I was fearful that he got hurt.
I love it.
It was funny.
I love the whole deal.
And Shad's going with the new ponytail look I saw, pulled back ponytail look.
No, he's had that for a while now.
Has he? I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, yeah. 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 Very stylish. We got the most stylish owner in the NFL. There's no debate about
that. Yesterday was good for this organization. It needed to happen.
It needed to happen.
And now you can start worrying about 2015.
Well, they needed they just need some validation of what they're doing. And the reality is they should have won the last 3 weeks. They should have beat the Titans. They had the Steelers take the pick six away. It's a completely different game. I mean, those three games right there are games they should have.
You're playing the shoulda, coulda, woulda game.
I'm just saying they should have won. They didn't win them. They didn't make the plays. But you look at the games and how
they
turned out.
They could have won them.
They should have beat the Titans. I mean, my goodness. They're better than the Titans.
Should have beat the Titans? Come on, Tony. They got an onside kick to get a 55-yard field goal.
I'm talking about the whole game, Pete. I'm not talking about the end of it.
All right, but they didn't.
No, they didn't.
You know what?
They have one win.
And
I agree.
For the long-term viability of the franchise, it's not such a bad thing.
I don't even want to go into this because I knew Pete was going to talk about this. Like, all right, now lose the rest of them. That's the best thing that can happen.
They got one.
No,
it's not so bad to get to not win anymore.
Why? Who are you so desperate to get in this draft?
There's nobody, but there's a pass rusher by the name of Randy Gregory at Nebraska. Put his tape on.
Is that the one you were touting last year that never came out?
Well, he couldn't come out.
It's October 20th.
That's what
Pete does. I hate it. I refuse to talk about it.
Well, you have to talk about it.
No, you don't. No.
I guarantee they're talking about it down there.
Who? You say down there. You think
Dave Caldwell.
Gus isn't talking about it.
No, but Dave Caldwell is. That's why you always say you want to be a general manager. You'd be talking about it, too, if you were general manager.
No, you worry about the
roster. No, you have to worry big picture. You're wrong. It's all about 2015. Come on, Tony. If you were general manager, you'd have your board up and you'd be moving guys around and watching them all and everything else.
Oh, I'd be watching them. I'd be preparing for next year. Absolutely. But I wouldn't be worrying about draft order right now.
Not draft order.
That's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what you're talking about, Pete. Thank you.
I'm not saying.
You said lose the rest 1-15.
No, that's
draft order. What else do you want?
That's not what I said. I said if you lose the rest, it's not that bad.
See, he wants to start. I agree you prepare if you're the scouts and start evaluating players. in the situation, you know, what you have right now, what you need on your roster. But you're not thinking draft order like you like to talk about. Like, oh,
you don't play out. See, I'm a scenario player. You don't play out scenarios. They're not playing out scenarios down there. If we have a pick here at 10, we might be able to get this pass rusher. If we have a pick from 10 to 20.
Too many things can happen, Pete.
They might be, but.
No, too many things.
You play it out and then change them.
This doesn't mean we have to do a two-hour show about it in October.
You. Exactly, JP.
We're just won a football show on it.
We just won a football game, Pete.
And I think it was. I said it was great for the organization and great for the franchise. Now move on to 2015.
And the interesting thing was, I don't think any of us would have sat here and said they win a football game with their arguably best offensive player playing.
He played bad. He played bad.
Let's talk about Blake Bortles yesterday. Three interceptions. You know what though? After those first two. They got the ball back after that horrible decision by Mike Patton.
Well, the first one was not his. It's a poor protection, a breakdown by Clay Harbor. He gets hit. He's trying to throw the ball.
Right. It looked like the guy was covered, though.
Marquise, he's open.
He is?
He's throwing a timing thing. Marquise is coming out of his break. He has separation. That's going to be a 20-yard play. And as he's throwing the ball, he gets hit. That's not on him. No. The other two were on him.
See, that's why sometimes when you look at stats – And you look at it and you say, okay, there's a guy with two interceptions or three interceptions, but really it's only two.
Yeah, there were two.
So you go back and if you evaluate him, I think it's
two.
Really only two.
Yeah, it was but two bad ones.
So, yeah, those aside, he drives the team down the field in a two-minute drive at the end of the first half, gets the touchdown, right, and is able to do some things on the ground, too. The option game was in play because
the read option, that's dead.
Well, you pull it out when you have to.
Well, it worked pretty dang well.
Yeah.
He also runs pretty well.
That's what I'm saying.
He's
good.
Scrambling.
He does it. He runs good all the time.
Look, the throw he made on the scramble, he could have run for a first down.
Yep.
And you could see as soon as he threw it, he wanted it right back.
And then he made the tackle.
He wished he had a string on that ball. You could see as soon as he threw it. Yeah. Oops, shouldn't have done that. But it was a bad game for him. It's funny, though, when he has a bad game, it doesn't look that bad.
Oh, it looked bad, but this is what I love about it.
It didn't look Chad Henne bad.
this is what I love about Blake is and being there and watching. His demeanor never changes. He doesn't pout. The series is over, and by the time you get to the next series, you would have never known that he has been struggling. And the two-minute drive is a perfect example of that. After coming off playing a very poor first half, high balls all over the place, two picks, one's his fault, and one's a bad pick. He comes out and you never know. 2-minute drive, bing, 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 right down the field, moving around, buying time. And he had a bad game. And then afterwards, talking to him, he says, hey, listen, I'm disappointed in my performance. But, hey, I'll take a win anytime we can get one. And just his whole approach in watching him on the sideline, which I know you can't see from the watching TV, but in the stadium you can really see it, and just how he handles the situation is so different than what we've seen.
I was going to say, one of the things I did notice on the TV, though, yesterday, remember when he called timeout because the play clock was winding down? I love when he came to the sideline and he kind of said something to Jet. It wasn't like he had this, you know, glazed over look on his face. He went over and he told him, you know, almost with a little bit of anger, get the play in or something. It was almost like a veteran quarterback who was getting mad.
No, his demeanor's great.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought was very good.
Which is important. They're going to have bad games. They all have bad games. And it's how you handle those.
Well, not all of them.
Really?
Not all of them.
Who doesn't have bad games?
Yeah, name one.
Excuse me. The guy last night doesn't have many.
Oh, wait.
He's never had a bad game in his whole career.
Huh?
He's never had a bad game
that. Yeah, quite a few.
They all have bad games.
That's my point.
But that was really bad. Manning has had few. Well, I guess he was a rookie, he did. Yeah.
I can go back, and even when he's a veteran, some – four pick nights in San Diego losing games. And
this was really, like you said, though, this is a two-pick game. I mean, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, my point in saying that is you're going to have bad games. You're going to face adversity. You're going to go through things like that. And that really what defines that position to me as much as anything is how you handle it, because guys watch that and they, you know, if you start pouting, feeling sorry for yourself, going to a shell,
You mean if you Jay Cutler it?
Yeah. You know, it's not good.
You go pout on the bench in the playoff game and all that, yeah.
And they ran the ball well. It was a good win. But the defense was fabulous.
What was so different about the run game yesterday?
Well, a couple things. One.
Speed.
They ran out of 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wides, as all of us talked about all week. and the front that Cleveland gave them in nickel was a 4-2, which six in the box. They played the pass, tried to defend the pass, gives you opportunities to run the ball. And then Denard Robinson, I mean, it's not an I told you so or anything, but that's what we talked about. Those inside zones with Denard Robinson against a nickel defense, I think would be successful. It fits their personnel. And then the guys up front played well. Brandon Linder 2 weeks ago or the game before had a bad game. He was outstanding. Pazdor is better. They all blocked the run much better as a group. And because of it, you saw Denard hitting creases, and he got north and south. And so the scheme set up well for what they wanted to do.
It's what we said here last week.
Yes.
Exactly what we said.
Yeah, you called it.
Yeah.
You didn't want to say we told you so, but you told us so.
No. He jumped on the bandwagon. He reluctantly said, it goes against everything.
No. First of all, Pete.
You did. You go, it goes against everything I believe in, but I think he's right. I think the Jaguars should run the ball that way.
That's not true.
We can play the tape.
First of all, please. I said it the day way before we ever had the show, number one. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you said that. I agree with you reluctantly. Well,
I'm sure you might have said it. We didn't hear it.
Nobody said it to yourself in the bathroom.
Or guy didn't say it.
That must be nice.
Let's say make Pete off. He can be GM, head coach, and offense coordinator.
Yes! I just can't play left tackle like you can.
Yeah. That's me. I don't think you can do the other ones.
By the way, should I tell him I gave him a nice little pub? I gave him a little.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the other day.
Oh, that's
this
right.
Guy,
yeah.
This PFT commenter, he's like this national. He's got a cult following. So he wants to email me, and he emails me. He goes, do you have anything to say to Mike Florio and Peter King? Because he knows I always get in it. I said, yeah, tell Mike Florio to go home and get a shine box from Goodfellas. And I said, and tell Peter King to put Tony Boselli in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, very good.
See?
Wow.
Always fighting the fight
Standing
for you.
Standing up for his guy.
It's good.
That's right.
Pete's my guy.
We'll come back in a moment. Jeff Loggeman will join us for segment two and talk about Jaguars All Access tonight. We'll talk defense and the injury bug bit today. One player done for the year, one player done for about a month and a half at least. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
It's going to be difficult because, you know, we love to play the game, and it's going to be tough to sit and watch. But now it's going to be my job to do everything I can to help out the other linebackers get ready to play. And it'll be hard. It'll be hard because you know, talking to Roy Miller and talking to Red Bryant, you want to have the opportunity to play with those guys. So I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that on Sunday.
Middle linebacker Paul Posluszny in the Jaguars locker room today after word came down that he is done for the year with a torn pectoral muscle. One of two defensive losses from this game against the Browns. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Jeff Loggeman is with us from Jaguars All Access on Channel 4 tonight at 7 o'clock. Let's start with Posluszny. Andre Branch is the other injury, a torn groin, and he's done for at least 6 weeks, but with these two guys gone, how does this change things defensively?
Well, I think the Branch injury is one that you can overcome because you've got Ryan Davis, you've still got Chris Clemons, you got Chris Smith, who's a draft pick. I think they'll all be able to kind of pick up that slack a little bit. Dakota Watson got some rushes at nickel, looked pretty good this past yesterday. The big loss, though, is Posluszny. That's a position group that the Jaguars, I think, we're going to look at addressing next year. I mean, he's the captain of the defense. He's like the Ivan Drago of football. I mean, the guy's a machine. I mean, he's a workout warrior. He's 100 miles an hour. He plays every snap in the game in the exact same way.
Gets everyone lined up.
Gets everybody lined up. I mean, he's been – look, and he hasn't been great in pass coverage, but he's been good in pass coverage.
And really good in the run.
But he's been consistent. And anytime you lose a consistent piece to a defense that's playing well, which they are, 3 weeks in a row now, and yesterday they were unbelievable.
And he was really good yesterday.
Oh,
I mean, really good.
That's not an easy guy to replace. Now, JT Thomas is going to move to the inside from what Gus Bradley said, and I kind of expected that just because I think JT can handle the mental part of being that.
And he played very well yesterday
And he played exceptional at auto. You know, he might have been one of the biggest upgrades that they made this season as far as, you know, when they were, you know, kind of dickering with the lineup a little bit, you know, changing the safeties and then changing the corner spot and changing linebackers. When they put him in there, he really solidified that defense in a big way. And I think he's going to help them at the mic position more so than a Leroy Reynolds. You know, so now if you get another injury,
I asked you this before. Posluszny's due to be $9.5 million next year. The, you know, people, fans in this town, not worth the money, screaming about it, clearly not bang for your buck. Is he back next year?
Yes. And I say that because, first and foremost, this team has the cap room. Cap room is not an issue with this team. But most importantly, I mean, he's a leader.
He's a great guy to have around this team.
He's a good player.
And on first and second down, he's a really good linebacker.
You
but not at 9.5, he can't come back.
Is he worth $9.5 million? No. But is he worth close to that? Absolutely. You know, and I think he wants to be here. You know, and the reality would be for Paul, you know, if I'm Paul Posluszny, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, if I take a little bit of a pay cut, maybe get my deal extended, what are the chances that I get that money elsewhere?
Right.
You know, so why wouldn't you consider it if you're Paul? But, I mean, it's not even a decision to make right now. I mean, that's all for offseason. Pete, you're always getting ahead of the game.
Thank you.
We've been talking a whole show about this.
Finally, someone agrees.
He's already to get ahead of it.
He asked me this.
He was doing it earlier?
He's doing a mock draft already. Yeah,
yeah. Mock draft.
Oh, geez, and he said, last week he asked me the Posluszny questions. He's back. I said, Paul Posluszny's a good player. I'm not talking about whether I bring him back or not next year.
Because you two are players. Take it one week at a time, one game at a time. You got to look at big picture. Always look big picture.
Well, I am looking at big picture.
He's
a heck of a football player.
He was really good.
Find a way to keep him. You know, if you're going to get better, you don't get better by letting go your better players and then trying to find a replacement for them that are unproven players.
Yeah, I think you're better off getting younger around him and let him
– Younger and faster.
Yeah, and let him be a part of it. I mean,
Pete, did you ever have any collections when you were a kid?
Baseball cards.
Okay, so when you had baseball cards – okay, and you had one that was just kind of okay. Did you just give it away?
No, because I knew.
Just to give it away?
No, I knew. I put it on my tires and made it go around on my bicycle.
So you found a different way to use it.
Well, so you found a way to utilize it because it had value to you, right? Well, if you've got great baseball card collection, you don't go getting rid of baseball cards until you replace them with some that are better, right? I mean, isn't that the way to make the best collection?
Unless you get a couple bucks.
The game of the NFL is about getting the best collection of football players on your roster that you can. And Paul Posluszny right now is one of the better players on your roster.
I'm not sitting here saying.
Don't put him on your daggum bike yet.
I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm going to say he's not worth $9.5 million.
Yeah, but why do you have to worry? But if you're this team, to Jeff's point, with all the cap space, that's not a concern right now.
So you just sit there and say, okay, we have all this cap room, so let's overpay a guy by
$5 million.
That's bad business.
I'm not saying overpay him, but I think you do probably go back to him and say, listen, we want to extend you, but for this number, because we want you a part of the team.
You're a player, not a player, so don't think like – you think like
I'm not
players.
Thinking like a player. I'm
yes,
thinking,
you are.
No,
I'm,
your best
I'm thinking
guy.
About building a better football
That's
team.
Right.
You don't think they would be better with a cheaper, younger, faster middle linebacker?
How's that going to make you better?
A cheaper, younger, faster middle linebacker.
Cheaper,
faster.
Younger, faster. You okay? You tell me a younger linebacker that's better than Paul Posluszny.
Bobby
or
Wagner.
Faster.
Bobby Wagner.
What are you going to do? Trade for him?
No, but you find that guy.
Well, if you find him, then you replace Paul.
But
until you find him, Pete, you don't just say, okay, we're going to get rid of him so we can go find a guy.
I'm glad, Jeff. I mean, I've been banging on this. I'm glad you're here to take up the
that's why you go to Vegas and I don't. See, I don't gamble. What you're doing is gambling.
That's not gambling. That's not gambling.
Getting rid of a guy to assume that you're going to replace it with somebody else that's going to be better right away?
If this was copy facts, we'd be playing the Virginia Cavaliers.
You're living in a pipe dream.
No, I'm not living in a pipe
dream.
Yes,
you are.
You guys are living in football player
spit it out.
No, but
you
know what?
You are. You're thinking like one game, one play at a time. You've got to think big picture.
You're playing fantasy football. You can just go pick up whoever you want and
plug
in.
No, you're not. Yeah. That's why you have a scouting department to go draft a fast, athletic middle linebacker who's going to be cheap.
But Pete, part of the problem, listen.
Find Navarro Bowman.
Okay, first of all.
Oh, you always look for him.
Yeah, I'm not saying you don't, but you look at this thing. So this is year two of a complete – we all agree that 18 months ago, Dave and Gus stripped this bare and started from scratch. And every position group needed to be addressed. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. So you started building last year at the draft, this year at the draft, plugging in free agents here or there. Now, year three, you're going to go start plugging more free agents in, and you want another good draft so you can build it. But you can't address every position group all at once. And so you've seen the strategy of what he's trying to do, much younger on offense, young receivers, young quarterback, got a young backfield, plugging in some offensive linemen, young guys, get a free agent. You know, and it's going to be a work of progress. Sure, if you can find a better player for any guy, take Paul Posluszny's name off, if you can find and upgrade any position, obviously you're going to. But to point out Paul Posluszny, who is one of the better players on defense, just makes no sense.
It makes a lot of sense. He's making $9.5 million a year, and he's not worth $9.5 million a year.
You replace him when you find something better.
Find a way
to address the contract in the meantime.
If you find something in the draft, right, or after the draft, then you readdress it then. That's what you're saying.
Or free agency.
I believe that's exactly what I'm saying. The logical approach.
You don't want to do it
now. I'm not saying get rid of him right now.
Right. Okay.
No.
Well, it doesn't matter right now. He's on IR.
Right. So there's no reason to get rid of him.
So what are you saying? After the season, you cut him?
I'd go to him and say, hey, Paul, this is your contract's going to be half of what it is now, and you'll stay around.
You're going to work and find a way to keep him?
If it's half.
Okay, so you're on board with me.
No, but did you say cut him in half?
Rework it.
I said rework it. I didn't say half.
I might even go lower than half. You find out what that value is.
Listen, it might be. You never know. What if JT Thomas comes in and plays lights out? Maybe he's fast. He can run. He's young.
He's cheap.
And maybe he's the guy.
Then what?
Well, then you make an adjustment based on what you need.
Then what? And you're looking ahead the next year, and you're probably getting rid of Posluszny, right?
Or you say JT now can play either auto or middle, and we got – let's go. You need three of these guys.
Posluszny's a good guy to have around. I get it.
I'll speak of linebackers because Paul Posluszny has played a fabulous game. I hate that he's hurt. It weakens his team. This team is not as good today as they were because Paul Posluszny.
Can we give him a moment of appreciation,
I said he's a good player to have around.
Right. And why are we talking salary right now? It doesn't matter. Salary and draft you want to talk about in October.
But you were the face of the franchise, and you got shipped to Houston. It's a cruel business. That's the reality of it.
In the offseason, I got shifted. Not October.
What are you talking about?
I got shipped out in February. But also, real quick, with Jeff's here, defensively, linebackers, Talvin Smith played a heck of a game as well.
He's a great athlete.
The way he ran to the ball, and he did something that I had not seen him do in zone coverage when he dropped. And, Pete, you talk about this is what Seattle's defense does, their linebackers. That ball was thrown underneath. He was there as the player was catching it. And if they caught it, it was no game.
It's going to be fun watching him develop. Because eventually you see the skill set where he puts on a little bit more weight.
It's going to be hard to keep him off the field.
That he has is, is taking on the blocks. Eventually he's going to get a little bigger, a little stronger. I don't think the speed will go away, and he's going to be more of a full-time player.
Remind you of anybody?
There's never been a linebacker that I have ever seen that has his speed. I mean, Pete, he's a 4-4 guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's that kid, you're right.
And the best part about him is his attitude. I mean, he's smiling. And you can tell when he makes a play. Watch the reaction of the other players on the field when he makes a play, or he doesn't make a play.
See, find two more of those 4-4 guys.
Those are the kind of guys you need.
It was an overall great defense.
Who you got tonight? Jaguars All Access.
Denard Robinson.
Love him.
Yes, sir.
What a good kid.
There's probably not been one guy in the last, 6 or 7 years on this football team that you've been able to watch develop so quickly.
Tell the story real quick, Jeff, because if you don't, I'm going to steal it from you.
You will do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every time when we take a road trip on the plane, the players have access to iPads at some point to be able to watch game film. And there's no player that wants an iPad faster than Denard Robinson on every trip, no matter whether he's had 5 snaps or 15 snaps. The guy is driven to be great. And when you listen to Gus Bradley in his press conference, he talked about with a question about developing guys, and he was asked about Branch and then comparing that to Denard Robinson. He said, with Branch, you work with him and kind of set goals with him. And he came out and flat out said, we didn't have to do that with Denard. I mean, he's a self-motivated guy, and that's the kind of guys that you'd love to get. And guys that just want to be great, and he's one of those guys that wants to be great, and it doesn't matter if he's a running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback, it doesn't matter.
You remember last year we talked about Denard Robinson, we didn't think he could catch a cold?
Well, he couldn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, that was a physical problem he had.
But he fixed it.
Nerve
he went
damage.
Out and worked on it.
Well, he got, I mean, fortunately, his body has healed, you know.
But he worked on it consistently.
Here's what I
hear. I mean, it was so impressive how he handled the situation.
He was the day before you got the team reported here, I was over at UNF doing some workout on the track, and I look over and I see these guys doing some 10-yard interval sprints or whatever, and I didn't know who, you know. I said, what's up? He said something to me. I said, watch out, there's duck poop on the other side of the track or whatever. And it was Denard. Denard was sprinting by himself. He didn't have to. It was the day before, obviously doing his own work. That kid wants, like you said, he wants to
be. All right, my last question before I got to go do TV. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you were at the track doing work, what were you doing, repainting the lines?
I was repainting the lines. I was repainting the lines and scooping all the duck poop up.
Well done. Tonight at 7, Jaguars All Access, Sam Kavaris, Jeff Loggeman, and Denard Robinson. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. It's a one-of-a-kind game day experience. It includes watching the game on the world's largest video boards, enjoying the State Farm Fan Cave, and partying on the Clevelander deck. See Blake Bortles and the Jags face the Dolphins this Sunday at 1 o'clock. And for tickets, visit jaguars.com/more or call 633-2000. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
We had fun yesterday, and I think we enjoyed it. And today we enjoyed it. So I'm really looking forward to see how we do handle it. You know, with a younger team and, you know, to have fun and all that. Now, how quickly can we, you know, can we learn a lot in these film sessions? You know, how will we approach it? Will I see him back in here first thing or even tonight or tomorrow watching film? And they understand now. Whether we lost some games or won, they were building this routine. It'll be interesting to see what takes place tomorrow.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today in his day after press conference. The Jaguars a 24-6 winner over the Cleveland Browns in week 7. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick with Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. Proud of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli. What do you make of all that, guys? With the handling success for the first time for a young team, is that something to watch?
Oh, absolutely. It's always a test. How you handle failure, you learn about guys, but I think you learn just as much how you handle success, because do you get comfortable? Do you get satisfied? Do you get complacent? Or does it drive you, once you get a taste, the taste in your mouth, to even go harder work harder?
Is it tougher for a younger team or an older team in terms of basking in your success?
You know, I've never thought about that. That's a great question. I'm not sure.
But I know you were both.
Yeah. It was never for me individually, I never changed my approach.
That's different.
That's why I think what Gus, you find out about guys, so then you learn, okay, what guys do have the self-starter in them and what guys do we need to, you know, motivate a little bit different way. And I think that's an important aspect of your team to learn. And listen, Gus makes it all about the process, win or lose. It's not about wins and losses. It's about getting better each week, and that's what we're going to focus on. And the real test is, okay, well, we've been doing that when we've been losing. And as a player, you like that when you're losing, because you're like, the coaching staff, all right, we're moving on, let's get better. Just the same as winning. The win was great. We're going to enjoy it. It's over. Now let's go get better. Because it's not about the wins and losses. It's about getting better, and the wins and losses take care of themselves.
Which is why the last 3 weeks, even though they've only won once, you can see this team is getting better.
Oh, without a doubt.
A month ago, that wasn't the case. Remember? I mean, they weren't getting better. Now they're getting better. You can see it on the field. You can see it on the tape. This is a better football team.
I'm just self. This is a very selfish statement.
Oh boy,
I'm just glad they won for a lot of reasons. But one, so I can, especially the local talk about them going 0-16 and should Gus be fired if they go 0-16 and all this nonsense. And I said to someone last week, I was like, they're not going 0-16. I mean, this football team's much better than it was last year, and they won 4 games. I'm not saying how many games they're going to win or lose, but I know. I mean, they're going to win. I mean, you can see it on tape how they're playing in this defense. I mean, I'll say it again. This defense has given up 2 touchdowns the last 3 weeks. Go look around the NFL and see how many defenses do that. I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to play defense in this league now.
It's the first time a Jaguars defense has allowed 20 points or less to 3 straight opponents since 2007. It's been a while. It's a pretty good run right now, a really good run.
You'll turn on the tape. It was a clinic.
How much did Mack and
Mack? Oh, they abused McQuiston and
McQuiston's not good.
And Greco. But here's the other thing. Betonio, the rookie, he was struggling.
And he's had a good year.
Mitchell Schwartz, I mean, they took it to him. Joe Thomas was solid in the past, but they took it to him in the run. I mean, it was just they were flying around. They were more physical. They were faster. I only want to point out one guy because they all – I mean, every one of them played well. Pozlesny, I hate to lose him on a game. Like, you hate to lose anyone anytime, but he was outstanding. Great tackle. You know, JT Thomas from the strong side, the auto linebacker, was flying around. We talked about Kelvin Smith.
The secondary was good.
Sip was good. They all played well.
I'll say this, not to
– And send Derek Marks. I don't know. You want to always talk about money when a player should take less. I don't know what we – and I have no idea what any of these guys make because I don't pay attention to it. But send Derek Marks, the way he's been playing this year – Give him a bonus or something.
Well, because he's got a new contract. Well,
give him another one. I don't know what it is, but he is playing at a high level.
Not to rain on your parade of stats over there, but you know the Steelers are, if you want to look at it, they're the 24th scoring offense in the league. The Titans are the 28th scoring offense in the league.
Okay.
and the other one, the Cleveland, is like 10th or something, 14th or something.
Oh, so. Okay. What were they before the game, though? They were 10th. Yeah. I know. Why do you do this?
Because I got to offer balance to you.
You want to take players' money. You want to cut guys. You want to make roster changes. You want to talk about the draft in October. And now you want to say the defense isn't playing that well because of the teams they're playing.
One game at a time. Say it.
No,
I just want you to say it.
I'm not talking about one game at a time. I'm talking about the overall what this team's done.
Big picture.
Big picture is they've allowed 2 touchdowns in 3 weeks.
Right. Go show good football.
Go tell me another defense that's done that.
Football. I didn't say that.
It's about time you said that. No, you wanted to rain on everyone's parade.
I did not. I'm just putting the facts out there. One game at a time, one play at a time.
Let's open up the phone lines and see what they think. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 is the number.
You're impossible to deal with.
In early tonight. Chris on the west side wants to talk about Pete Prisco. You're certainly going to get on the air.
Oh,
Chris,
good.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Last week, you guys were debating about what brings about team success. And Pete, you said you need a great quarterback to take you to the playoffs. And you need luck to take you the rest of the way. Is that right?
No, I don't remember saying that. You're putting words in my mouth.
They're better than the ones you spit out. So,
luck. Oh, Andrew Luck. Oh, you mean Andrew Luck?
Yeah, because
you. Oh, you mean Andrew
you guys
Luck?
Were talking,
yeah,
you guys
Andrew
were talking
Luck.
About,
yeah.
Hey, look at the Giants. Look at the Colts. They got there with crappy running.
Oh yeah, we were talking about you need a quarterback and get in the playoffs and have a little bit of luck. You go your way. You were saying something about that.
I don't remember saying.
I vaguely do.
I don't.
Fortune, ball bounces.
If he said that, what's the point?
What's the point?
Well, the point is, if he did say that, that's a loser's mentality, man. Luck? Are you serious?
See, I would never in a million because I know I would never say that because I would never say luck. I would never say luck because I don't think things go that way.
Let's move on. We can't even agree what Pete said, and this guy's calling him a loser, which I agree with. He is a loser.
I would never say luck. That's it was
unless
Andrew
it's Andrew Luck.
Luck,
yeah. All right. Which you have a man crush on.
Why not?
John in Keystone Heights talking tight ends. Johnny, what's up?
Yeah. So Pete's a loser, huh?
did we really need that caller to know that?
Here's a good one. If Patrick Young, Pelicans or whatever they are, let him go. Why don't we make him our tight end? I mean, at least he's a local boy.
All right, I can't.
John,
you have to call back. You have bad connection.
I know what he was saying. Patrick Young, the basketball player from Florida.
Oh, no.
If he gets released by the NBA, why not? Like, make him a tight end. Hey, there's some basketball players.
So we're 0-2. So far, we're 0-2. Joe, good job screening the calls. 0-2.
I'll claim that one as well.
That was awful. That's go one more time. Let's try again. Come on,
Leo and Mandarin. Your
favorite. Oh, Leo. Leo.
Wants to talk about quarterbacks. Leo, what's up?
Good evening, gentlemen. How y'all doing? Hey, listen, I'll go quick, man.
Good. I like when you're over.
Here's the problem I'm having though. I keep hearing a lot of people say that it was Blake Bortles' worst game. And I can get where everybody's saying that, okay? But maybe I saw something different yesterday, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, what'd you see? Because it was his worst game.
There was something that was very defining about the young man yesterday. After the 4th-and-1 stop, Okay, the defense did a great job. They did what they were supposed to do. They stopped this guy. He drove them down the football field for the touchdown, right? And then after all, I mean, that's after all the interceptions, all the bad play all day long.
Yeah, we talked
and
about
then
that.
What happens?
We talked about
the defense.
That.
Right, but the defense turns around then. And they get the pick, and let me tell you something. That
no,
stuff
the,
is,
that, you're really, Leo, you really got your sequence of the game way off. The drive was at the end of the first half, and then they went in at halftime, and then the pick was not until the fourth quarter. So I'm not sure how the two correlate with each other, but if you want to give Blake the credit for the pick, should we give him the muff punt as well? I mean, anything else you want to throw on Blake's plate?
but what I'm trying
Tony's
to tell
guy.
You is –
You what are you trying to tell me?
I called you bro.
I know we're tight.
Y'all, y'all even said it before. JP asked this question just earlier today. Why is the running game better? I called y'all and told y'all we're going to start getting some respect because the kid can throw the football. That's why they're effectively running the ball better. And Denard Robinson is much faster. He hits the holes a lot quicker. And yeah, the defense did great. But I'm telling you that energy that the young man is bringing.
I say, listen.
Leo,
I got you. You love Blake. I can introduce you maybe one day to each other. But I can't sit here and give credit for the interception, the muff punt, the defense's performance.
Mike Pettine's bad decisions.
Mike Pettine not knowing how to manage the game and the fact that the offensive line had its best day run blocking. And Denard did a great job. I love Blake. I think he's the franchise quarterback. He's an outstanding young player. He's going to win a lot of football games for us. Yesterday was not Blake Bortles' best day. Everyone else really played well, and Blake Bortles will tell you that himself. So, Leo, I'm sorry. That was another poor call.
And, Leo, Tony will be looking forward to talking to you on Thursday as well. Coming up on the next show on Jaguars Radio. Listen up, football moms. The Jags inviting you to join Michaela Bradley, wife of Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, a free football safety clinic for moms tomorrow night, 6 to 8 at Everbank Field. To register, visit jaguars.com/momsclinic. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, senior NFL columnist. Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're curing all of the woes the Jaguars here, right?
We have our special guest every Monday night that comes and visits, and it was great listening Pete be put in his place.
I wasn't put in my place.
Yes, you were.
You're wrong. I'm not going to say what he said, but you know you're wrong about the board and everything. You're wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. I'm right, as usual.
So we figured
you've got it handed to you tonight, by the way. I mean, Logs owned you.
Yeah, he did.
He did
actually.
Not own me.
And
I have people on Twitter tweet me and going, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You need to move on from them.
If Twitter is telling you, then I know I'm right because you got a bunch of people out
one
there.
One game, one play. One game, one play. One game, one play. I mean, that's going to be your motto.
I never said that.
But that's what you guys think.
That's not what I think, Pete.
Are you looking ahead to 2015?
From what aspect? What role am I?
That is the year.
What
Take
role?
As
a GM. Player, no, I'm not.
A GM.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you're not a player. You're a GM.
I'm a radio guy.
You're a GM. You want to be a GM.
If I'm a GM, I'm looking next year.
And is next year the all-important year for this group?
Right now is important, too, because you got to – I think I where you and I do disagree –
establish the culture.
I think you build on one year after that.
But winning isn't necessarily establishing
No, but establishing
culture.
How you do
Getting
things.
Better. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I would agree with that.
And so I'm as a GM, I'm thinking about both. I am.
Well, if you haven't peeked at the college players yet, then you better get on it quickly.
First of all, I already said. You and I both said that.
Every time I bring up the draft, you go, "Oh, it's too soon."
I said I don't want to talk about it.
Why?
Because we're talking about this team now.
And what do they need? People are out there all the time playing in their mind. They play general manager. Every fan that listens to this radio show plays general manager. I would get rid of this guy, this guy, this guy.
But the problem is none of us.
This guy, this guy, this guy. That's what they do.
The problem is none of us.
That's why they listen.
The problem is none of us, including you or me or any of these fans, have watched enough college football and evaluate to tell you who can play and who can't at this point, because you know right now all these stupid draft boards and big boards, not by the GMs and scouts doing it because they know, change and guys that are like top five will end up being drafted in the third round.
Well, there is a lot of that.
Thank
but,
you.
But
and that's, so that's why I don't want to talk about it.
I can tell you that the defensive end at Nebraska by the name of Randy Gregory, who I watched last year, he will be a high draft pick and somebody that this team should strongly consider. How about that?
Okay.
But, it's not like you
My
just,
point is I don't have no desire to talk about it right now because what if there's a great linebacker out there that they need or a great free safety?
I can save them $7.5 million if that's the case.
What if there's a great, Well, you don't take a – you and I both agree you don't take a running back in the first round. But.
No, but you know what? There's some thinking in this town, as short-sighted as it is, that they should take a running back in the first
round.
Now, that might have been put to rest yesterday with what Denard Robinson
did. Well, I mean, here's a perfect example. And I have been saying for a while, Denard Robinson looks more and more like a running back. We talked about in the preseason. And I'm not saying he's going to be a 1,200-yard back. Or if it, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But what I have seen, the progression and the development, and what it tells you, here's a guy who never played any running back in college, is just a great athlete with great speed, explosiveness, is becoming more and more of a running back at this level and rush for 127 yards.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned don't draft a running back in the first round.
I wouldn't.
How early is too early to draft a running back? Second round?
Second round. You can draft. Second or third round you can draft.
Like 33rd pick?
I draft one in the third. I draft one in the fifth if I had to, or sixth. They're backs. Look at the kid at San Diego. Undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Put him in there. Puts up numbers. Now, here's somebody asked me this on Twitter the other day.
Who was the first back drafted last year?
It was
Bishop Sankey.
Sankey. Yeah, second round. Here's one for you. Somebody asked me this the other day. Knowing what you know about Fred Taylor, would you draft him in the first round now?
Ooh.
Good question.
Yeah.
Would you? How high?
Pretty dang high because he has the ability.
Right. He is in this era would be
even
better
because
right.
of space.
And he can put him in the passing game and everything.
The era we played in, which was more, too tight.
Right.
You know, it was just a different style of football. You imagine him and spread and running
he's
around.
He's one of those guys where you just might take him in the
so
first round.
So what if Todd Gurley's at?
See, I don't think he is that.
I don't either, but I'm just saying. Would you take him?
See, I think Fred is more – Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles, would you take him in the first round?
He didn't even go
in the first round.
There's always the injury factors with the running back, too.
To answer your question,
no.
I wouldn't take a back in the first round.
If it was Fred Taylor.
If I knew he was going to be Fred Taylor and it was guaranteed, no doubt
about
it.
You're going to get 10 years out of it.
Then I'd take him.
But second round's okay.
Second round's okay.
Yeah, sure.
33rd pick.
Right outside
the first round.
Me personally, I'd probably wait till the third round.
We're done already? Are we going home?
No.
Oh.
We have a whole other hour of this.
One game, one play.
Copy facts,
don't we?
One game, one play.
Is it rigged again this week like last week?
Rigged? They feel sorry for you when you win.
You won last week.
One game, one play.
Second hour of Jaguars Monday is coming up on Jaguars Radio.
It just appeared like Cleveland came in and said, let's defend the pass. That's how you do it. And, make sure they don't get 380 or 350. And, they're going to run the ball. But so we saw a lot of different looks than maybe we have in previous looks because of that. So when they do that, you have to take advantage of it. And I just felt like, okay, they're playing a lot of split safety. Here's what's taking place. We've got to be able to run the ball in this situation. And we did.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today talking about Cleveland's philosophy defending the pass, not quite as much defending the run against the Jags in yesterday's Jaguars win 24-6 over the Browns. Jaguars Monday continues. We might go to the phone lines later, but I don't know. It's been a rough start to the phone lines.
Yeah, bad callers. Bad callers, I don't know what to tell you. Bad reception, making no sense. And then Leo really confused. Leo was confused tonight.
We might just forget it.
I'll be honest with you. I've never used luck in any way, shape, or form to describe what happens on a field.
Unless it's Andrew Luck.
Yeah, that. Yeah. But, by the way, I was doing, I do those power rankings every week, and I was doing them today.
Where'd you put us?
You moved up.
Where?
They were in the cellar, so they've got the 28th.
Oh, we got to look at the article?
29th. Tomorrow comes out. But the top 10 teams, every single one of them has a pocket passer.
So Seattle's 11?
Yeah.
San Francisco's 12?
Yeah.
So you're telling me.
The game always goes back to that.
You're telling me Seattle and San Francisco, neither you haven't.
They're 3-3, Seattle.
No, I agree. They're not very good right now.
And San Francisco has three losses, too.
You want to know why Seattle's struggling?
Not playing good defense, for one.
Can't stop the run. And their offensive line is playing poorly. The thing that they hung their hat on, which was winning in the trenches.
Well, the offensive line wasn't very good last year, either.
Played well in the playoffs, though.
Right.
What they hung their hat on when they were playing good was winning in the trenches on both sides of the ball, controlling the line of scrimmage. Can't do it. Can't win.
And Russell Wilson actually played good yesterday.
Ran for 100 yards.
That's not a good thing.
No.
Anytime your quarterback's running for 100 yards, that's not a good thing.
Let's get to
what was wrong with the Legion of Boom or Doom or whatever yesterday? Dez Bryant, I just saw some.
Not Dez Bryant. They didn't have that many big plays. The Rams didn't do a lot yesterday. It was weird. They had a – did you see –
the weird fake
punt
thing.
How'd they pull that punt off? How'd they plan that?
How does the punter – well, first off, how does the – when you – you come when you're in the huddle. The punter says, "I'm punting right or left." Right? He says it's a return.
I've never been in that huddle, but I assume.
I would love to see you cover punts. But
I did in high school.
but am I wrong about that?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I think the punter comes in and he says, "We're punting it right or left, directionally." And so, if the punter doesn't say, did he say we're punting it left and it went right? And how did the Rams know to fake it?
It was a great play though.
And then they faked a punt to get a first down.
Which was a terrible call.
And then my pet peeve at the end of the game, and I've argued this with many a coach, Trey Mason popped through on a third and short situation and got the first down and kept running. With the other team had no timeouts left, and they popped the ball free on him. And it became a fumble, and it was a pile-up, and they couldn't determine who recovered it, so St. Louis maintained possession. Otherwise, Seattle would have got the ball back with a minute. If Trey Mason goes down, they take a knee and the game's over. Mm. You got to tell your guys. Mm. You got to tell them. Look, if you get a first down, go down.
I know the fake punt worked. Do you like that call there?
If you're the Rams and you're in the situation you're in, I'm okay with it. If you're a good team,
Minus 20.
Yeah, but if you're a good team, no. Where are the Rams going? They're playing. They're using everything in the bag.
Yeah, that's fair.
If they were 5-1, then no.
That's fair.
We'll get around the National Football League coming up. Let's get to the injury report for the Jaguars. Alan Ball with a biceps injury. Likely won't practice Wednesday. They'll figure out his status moving forward. Aaron Colvin will practice limited Wednesday. The 21-day period will start for the rookie draft pick out of Oklahoma. He had an ACL tear at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Andre Branch, we set out 6 weeks.
They really
weeks.
Like him, too.
Yeah, I think they do. He's on track.
He's going to be a good player.
He would have been, a second-round guy, first-round guy?
Maybe a first.
Had he not been hurt in Mobile. Andre Branch out 6 weeks at least with a groin tear. Pozlesny on the IR. Craig Loston a hamstring strain. Bowenko had an ankle sprain but should practice. Gerhardt continuing to progress. More of an update Wednesday. And Mercedes Lewis can practice starting October 28th. And they say he's on time for that.
Hold on, real quick. Go ahead.
Hold on.
I will give you the floor.
The interrupter.
If Branch tore his groin, and that's the report, right?
Well, that's what they called it, torn groin.
He won't see him again.
I don't see 6 weeks.
You know what that reminded me of? Fred. Do you remember when Fred tore his – Fred?
But he was always week to week.
Yeah.
we talked about this in the postgame with him last night, too.
With Fred?
Yes.
Yeah, that thing – Fred was – you weren't here, but Fred was running in the middle of the line. You remember it.
Dropped the ball.
It was like he got shot. Fred said it felt like somebody shot a rifle and it hit him in the leg, in the groin. So when I was watching that play yesterday and Branch went down, I said, oh, his groin came off the bone. That thing had to come off the bone. And once it comes off the bone, you're not playing in 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's my first comment. Second comment is, or question, I bet you it's the same question you're going to ask. What do you do with Gerhardt when he comes back?
Spot him in.
It's got to be – you got to ride the hot hand. I mean, Denard Robinson –
he's not getting his jaw back.
You got to get – I mean, Denard
– you can't pull Denard now.
No, heck no. One's fast to the hole, one's not. One hits the hole, one doesn't. One sees the hole, one doesn't. One of these isn't like the other. You play the hot hand, you play Denard Robinson. I don't think there's any question about that. And I might let Storm run, too, when he's in the taking the other carries. I don't know what you do with Gerhardt. I mean, he is just a guy. Let him play in third down, maybe in the backfield or some a little bit. But even Robinson can catch the ball out of the backfield now. I don't know what you do with him. The cruel reality is there's always somebody better to take your job.
Denard looked well. He played really well, looked good.
I can say early in the season I was concerned about him not running through guys. It's almost like he didn't know quite how to do it, and he went down easy.
He pushed piles yesterday.
Yesterday he didn't go down easy, and that's a really good sign.
Another young player.
My
question was to say I was going to be on Branch with the bone. Okay. With coming off the bone. That reminded me of Fred. And I'm with you on 6 weeks. Good luck with that.
Yeah, Fred said something last night where it was it might be a slight tear of some kind, and I'm thinking to myself, is there a slight tear of a groin? Is that even possible? It's a tear. It's a tear, right? And that's when we got into the whole thing off the
Fred's
bone.
It's not so much the groin. It was the muscle above the groin where the muscle tore off the bone.
Right.
The way Branch went down, it reminded me of that. And I would imagine had his came off the bone. That's to this day, I'll go back in the history of the Jaguar franchise. What they did to Fred that year was awful. And Tom should have never have done that. Every week I go, hey, is Fred going to play? Oh, he's week to week. And so all of a sudden everybody labels him Fragile Fred. Yeah. And that's how he got
it.
It was unfair to Fred. To this day, Fred still, I'm surprised he didn't get him going on that.
Oh, he went a little bit. Yeah. He started talking about it a little bit. Another young player playing well on offense is Allen Robinson. Wide receiver, had, 60 yards, had the 31-yard touchdown yesterday, made a great play on the touchdown, actually. But he's consistently getting better and better and better, and a lot of these young guys are.
He'll end up being the go-to guy on third down, too. Big body.
Red zone.
Great hands.
Red zone.
Yeah, he's really progressing nicely.
I think they have the makings of a real nice 1-2 combination with those two young guys. They complement each other. One's bigger, one's not as fast.
You're talking about Marquise Lee as well.
Yeah, Marquise Lee and Robinson. One's a little quicker, one's a little faster. And it's just a matter of when it goes on for him, because when it goes on for him, he has a chance to be really good. And the other guy will probably end up being like it is now. Robinson's the better of the two right now, but if the pilot light and everything clicks for Marquise Lee, he'll be the better of the two players in the long run. They're both going to be good complementary, good players for each other, I think.
And that's why you drafted him. I mean, when they drafted him, that was the plan. And it just got – Marquise was better this week. He did some good things. He looked good, caught a great ball on the sideline, showed the great good hands and body control.
That was a great throw, too.
Great throw. And I think you'll see more of Marquise this week. I think they'll increase the workload every week.
It was interesting last week, and leading up to this game, they were asking Blake Bortles about his progressions, and are you going to feed the ball to Cecil? They threw it to him 16 times 2 weeks ago and this and that, and it just happened to work out in that game. I think that kind of evened out a little more this week. They didn't have a lot of success throwing the ball, but it's not like you're going to focus on one guy, and Bortles has been going through those progressions, and that's pretty obvious.
Well, and I want to use Manning as the barometer for everything, because he's one of the greats, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. But the fact – the week before Denver played, Wes Welker did almost nothing in the second half of that game, okay? Then they come out last night, and they have a play they put in on Friday for Wes Welker. You know, it was a fake pump screen, and he went around and everything. It's never going to be feed that guy with the great quarterbacks. It's what they show, where do I go.
What they give you.
Right, what they show, where do I go. And that's what Bortles, the fact that he didn't go back to Cecil Shorts, because guys were asking me that yesterday down in the studio. They're saying, oh, he's going to go to Shorts. It seems like he's the guy. And I said, no, you watch. He'll go to Robinson today. And on third down, he went to Robinson in the key situation. But I just think you have to be able to spread it and go change the way you do. What they show, it dictates where you go.
Take advantage of the defense weakness, whatever it is.
What did Cecil end up with yesterday?
Cecil, 9 targets, 3 catches, 12 yards. He led the team in targets. Robinson had 7 targets, 4 catches. Clay Harbor, 6 targets, 6 receptions. So he's had a good run lately, too.
Well, Clay Harbor's going to get 3 or 4 of those targets on those boots.
Yeah, and little out routes and third and short and trying to get the ball in his hands.
He's a nice complimentary tight end, Clay Harbor. I think he's a good guy to have on your roster.
Absolutely. He'd be great if he's your number 2 tight end.
Right. You need a number – this team needs a number 1 dictate doubles in the passing game tight end. If they get that some way, somehow.
Is there any free agents next year?
Yeah.
Like?
Julius Thomas.
Are you sure, Pete? Because
he is.
You get all kinds of stuff wrong, which we know.
Stop. I was right on Posluszny.
Can the Broncos afford to keep him?
I think he's a free agent. I got to check. But yeah, Julius Thomas is a free agent.
How do the Broncos keep – they can't keep everybody.
Well, they also got Demaryius Thomas.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, sooner or later, someone
Which one would you pick between those two? I pick Demaryius.
I pick Julius.
You would?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I pick Demaryius.
Why? Why would you pick Demaryius?
I think
– You pick Julius.
I think game – I pick Julius. I think,
oh, you pick Julius.
I think game-changing tight ends, there's less of those than big-time receivers.
Ooh, I don't know. Look what happens to – Look what happens to Detroit's offense when Calvin Johnson goes out. Look what happens to Cincinnati's offense when A.J. Green goes out. Look what happens to the Falcons' offense when Julio Jones goes
out. None of those three have a tight end that can dictate the game and coverage.
Well, when Julio Jones went out, they had Tony Gonzalez. But
And Tony Gonzalez was not.
No, by then he wasn't.
No.
So you're saying if you took Demaryius Thomas off the Broncos – they would be better off than if you took Julius Thomas off the Broncos. Boy, I don't know. I don't know, Tony. I don't know. That kid's had 550 yards in three games.
No, he's a great player. I'm not saying that. I'm not taking anything away.
I know what you're saying. You're saying
because
the dynamic.
You have two great outside. You have two good outside guys. Let's say you had Welker and Emmanuel Sanders.
That's not good enough. That's not.
If you have Julius Thomas, he's going to dictate the middle of the field.
No, I don't. I disagree with you. I think I'd keep Demaryius Thomas. But anyways, Julius Thomas is an unrestricted free agent. If they can't tag or him or whatever, he'll be available.
Well, here's the question. How many tight ends, like a Julius Thomas, like a
Jimmy Graham,
a Gronk when he's healthy, can dictate the game and take and be that guy?
Right.
How many of them?
There aren't that many of them.
Okay, there's a lot of number one receivers, though.
How many? There's probably five.
15.
Really? 15 number one receivers who dictate to that? Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead, give them to me.
Brandon Marshall.
One.
So he dictates more than Alshon Jeffrey?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay, all right. But they both do a pretty good job.
Calvin Johnson.
Two.
Julio Jones.
Three.
A.J. Green.
Four.
Demaryius Thomas.
Five.
Des Bryant.
Six. I'm trying to think. I'm going running through all the teams.
Don't tell me Larry Fitzgerald anymore.
No.
Don't tell me Michael Floyd. Don't tell me anybody in San Diego. Keenan Allen, no. Don't tell me anybody in Oakland. Nobody in Seattle. Nobody.
DeSean Jackson does in a different way, Pete.
You could find that. No. You could
really?
That. Yeah, you could. No.
So that's not seven. That's still six.
Six. You're talking about the top guys.
Okay. Uh-oh. You got eight to go.
Let's just keep on going.
Nine to go.
Let's talk about something else.
No.
I got to go through the roster.
No, there's not 15.
Josh Gordon.
He's not on a roster.
But he's he's suspended right now.
He's not playing. He's suspended.
But he is one.
Yes.
Six and a half.
That's seven.
Okay. That's seven. I'll give you seven.
Okay, seven.
This is really compelling radio.
Eight to
right
go.
Well, if you think about it, you're not gonna find 15.
I'll get to 10.
That's just it.
You got two more to get to 10.
Did you count Demaryius?
Three more.
Yeah, I counted Demaryius. I'll get there.
How about Cordarrelle Patterson? Not yet.
Roddy White was at one
not
time.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but he was.
Not anymore.
Wow.
Nobody.
T.Y. Hilton?
No.
Come on.
Tony, come on. he should get zapped for that one.
Mike Wallace?
No.
You know who Antonio Brown is?
Yes. Pittsburgh. Yeah.
There's eight.
That's eight.
All right.
You said 15. You got seven more to go.
I get to
you
10,
hedged it down to 10. You can't even. You're too short of 10.
I'll get there. I forgot Antonio Brown.
Let's take a timeout when we come back. Oh goodness, we will talk about Percy Harvin when we come back. The Copy Facts Face-Off is right around the corner. The Jaguars Kids Club Tour and Treat event is back as well. All members of the Jaguars Kids Club invited to attend a special event Tuesday, October 28th. Visit JaguarsKidsClub.com today to register and RSVP. The Copy Facts Face-Off after this, Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HennanyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. It is now time for the Copy Facts Face-Off. And for the season, Pete Prisco has a 4-3 advantage over Tony Boselli.
Should be 5-2, but you guys felt sorry for him 1 week.
That's not true.
4-3 is the actual score.
I know. It should be 5-2. You felt sorry for him 1 week.
The topic this evening, big trade in the National Football League earlier this week. Percy Harvin traded from the Seahawks to the New York Jets for a conditional sixth-round pick, I believe. The question
could be as high as a 4.
Yes.
If he's on the roster next year.
The question is this a wise move for the Jets? And by giving him a look this season, today the general manager, John Idzik, said this could be a potential coup for the New York Jets. That was an exact quote from the GM. They're pumped about it, of course, in New York. But is this a wise move for the Jets to give him a look this year, Pete?
Absolutely. What? Let's just put it, it's all about risk-reward in this situation. Number one, the Seahawks gave up a first, a third, and a seventh and gave him $60 million to play 6 regular season games. So I think Pete and I both agree it was way too much, and they would have won the Super Bowl without him. That neither being – but now we look at the Jets. The Jets are going to give up a 6-round draft pick if it doesn't work out. Go look at the history of 6-round draft picks and what are the chances of hitting a home run, because if it works out, which I don't think it probably will, you got one of the most dynamic playmakers when he's healthy in the NFL. And there's been a long list of guys who have been troublemakers, not great people off the field, who have made big impacts and helped teams win. And if you're the Jets, you're 1 of 6. You have nothing to lose at all. It's a 6-round draft pick. It doesn't affect your cap. It doesn't hurt anything. Why not take the chance?
Okay. Here's why you don't take the chance. The guy's a grade-A turd, first off.
And is he the first one in the NFL?
No, okay. But he fights his own teammates, hits them. Put your hand – if you put your hands on me in this studio right now, you're fired, okay? You don't do that. You don't put your hands
on – And that doesn't happen in the NFL either.
It happens a lot.
Okay.
But
so you're going to cut all the guys that get cut.
There's a pattern of it every single stop he goes to, okay? Not only that – he isn't as good as everybody says he is. The guy averages 11.4 per catch in his career. He's not a vertical threat. He's a horizontal threat. There are tight ends in this league. Jimmy Graham averages more than he does per catch. A lot of tight ends do. Vernon Davis does. So why do you bring that? It's not worth the risk. He's not that good a football player to bring him into a locker room where you have a second-year quarterback who you're trying to develop, and you don't need that guy in your locker room messing with the psyche of the team and the quarterback.
Messing with the psyche of the team. It's the New York Jets with Rex Ryan. So they have no psyche.
Are they desperate?
Yeah, but desperation, risk-reward, take a shot. You lose a 6-rounder.
It's not the pick. Put the pick out of the equation. You could have got him for a turkey sandwich.
And it doesn't matter. And you get rid of him if it doesn't work out, and you've lost nothing.
Do you think Pete Carroll's a good football coach?
Yeah.
Do you think Russell Wilson is an easygoing, pretty likable quarterback?
No idea. I've never met him.
Well, he is. But but they couldn't deal with him. Pete Carroll, who has about as great a player-coach relationship, has as great a player-coach relationship as there is in the league, couldn't tolerate Percy Harvin. Russell Wilson went, from what you hear, and said he couldn't handle him anymore. Remind you of anybody? Remember when Andre Rison got the boot?
But it's all about risk reward. If you're the New York Jets,
you're 1-6. What are you doing?
It's going nowhere.
Right.
If you maybe this is the wake-up call for the guy. He is a good, dynamic player.
He is?
Yes, he is.
He doesn't do anything.
Oh, Pete, you're wrong.
He doesn't
about
do
that.
Anything. What do? You hand off to him? What do you
he
do?
Runs
he's not
ball.
A vertical.
Is he a vertical threat? He's a good receiver.
Wes Welker has more 20-plus catches in the last 5 years.
Tell me the last time he had a quarterback.
Oh, he doesn't have Russell Wilson wasn't a quarterback.
You think that offense is a dynamic down the field offense?
No.
Okay, that's my point. Tell me when he was an assistant like Wes Welker was with Tom Brady.
Did the Jets have a quarterback?
No, but
you're bringing him in for what? For
you're
six
bringing
games?
Him in because maybe you hit it. Maybe he does work out. Maybe he does change. And down the road, you now have a player that is a dynamic playmaking guy.
Dynamic
guy.
He's just a guy, and he's not worth the money they're paying him.
They're not going to pay him that
if
much.
If they keep him, they're paying him. If they're keeping him, they're paying him $9 million.
But you're only going to keep him if it works out.
It's going to work out over the course of the next 9 games. You're going to decide it's going to work out over the next 9 games.
In the offseason, you have all offseason to see what kind of locker room citizen he is.
What if he puts on a fake face for 9 games and then he turns back into what he really is?
Then you lose a 4th rounder.
But it's not losing anything. It's just you're bringing that element in there.
And you bring a playmaker to a team that
if
has
Pete
none.
If Pete Carroll didn't want him in his locker room, that's a major red flag.
Your time is up.
the winner.
No, that was easy. That was easy.
From Arizona State University, Pete Prisco.
Just like in the standings.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, come on. I won easy, that one. That was like, no, they felt. I thought they
a
were
six
give,
router, Pete.
I thought they were going to give it to you because they felt sorry for you. That's how bad I won that one.
Pete Prisco now leads the season series 5-3 over Buscelli.
It's all about 2015, though.
You know, you made an interesting comment during that, Pete. Andre Rison, you dropped that name. Is that similar to what happened here? I wasn't around.
That's exactly
then,
what happened here.
But yeah.
He ran the wrong routes up in Pittsburgh a couple times, and the quarterback didn't like him around anymore, and he got sent packing. And it was the weirdest locker room scene you've ever seen in your entire life. He walked in there. He had been cut already, and all the players were sitting around him protecting him. Remember that? You remember that? You don't remember
Tony
that.
Tony has no comment.
I'm not talking any longer on this segment because it's ridiculous.
So they were physically
Coffee
around?
Coffee Fact should ask for their money back.
They were physically around the locker?
They were. A lot of the players were around Andre Rison. We walked in the locker room, and they all said, "What are you looking at, Pete?" And about 10 minutes later, they called me over, and they said, "You got to write something about this. There's no way Andre should be cut." Remember that? And then later you find out that Andre, here's a great story. Les Snead, who's now the general manager of the St. Louis Rams, worked here at the time. You know what one of his jobs was? To go get Andre Rison out of bed to come to practice every day. He had to drive him to practice. True.
Mm. Where did he end up?
Green Bay, and he won a Super Bowl.
He won the Super Bowl that year.
Those were the days, huh?
And he made a difference in the Super Bowl game. He didn't?
Yeah, he got a catch.
Yeah, big catch, touchdown. Right.
So you see Brett Favre on that Jets team?
No, I'm just telling you. What do you have to lose if you're the Jets? What I mean, Percy Harvin, first of all, you're dead wrong.
The argument's over. Keep going.
No, you're dead wrong that he's not a good player.
I didn't say he wasn't a good player.
Okay,
you got
a good player in the NFL who can make plays, is dynamic, for a sixth-round draft pick.
You lost already. Keep trying.
This one.
You lost.
This one pains, Tony. This really hurts.
Joe, the stings. The fact that Joe makes the decision on
I
who
was
wins,
in on that decision, too, by the way.
Well, you're an
Don't
idiot.
Just point to him.
You're an idiot. That's why we replaced you on Thursday night just about.
I heard you taking shots on Thursday, by the way. I listened to the show.
It was the best show of the year.
Who'd you replace him with?
Nobody. It was better.
Who did the show?
Just me and Jeff.
Wow.
I know. I listened back to it just to see.
Where were you?
I was upstairs at the NFL 101 for Women.
We made sure he had another assignment.
Event.
We're trying to figure out what we can get him to do this Thursday night.
All okay. I know is that if you two aren't doing the show from London, the ratings go up every time when you go to – when Buscelli goes to London, the ratings went up last year. Marco Coleman came in, and the ratings went right through the roof. True.
Nice. Nice.
Marco, you out there?
Well done. Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night. Jessica, Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags in the NFL from their unique and strictly feminine perspective. Tomorrow at 7 on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We'll return with a look around the National Football League. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco from... Oh, I said your name wrong. Pete Prisco.
Who cares?
From CBSSports.com.
No.
Tony Buscelli.
All right, I want to run through some free agents, and you tell me if you think the Jaguars
here we go.
This is going to be awesome.
Demaryius
Thomas. I can't
wait. No.
Why not?
I think, yeah. All right.
Are you saying if Demaryius Thomas was on this team, would he not be, yeah. would be the yeah. team be better?
Yeah. Gerald McCoy.
Mm. He's a great player.
Playing well.
He's not going anywhere.
No, but I'll say this. Gerald McCoy is outstanding. But said Eric Marks is playing at a high level.
Right. Yeah. Why would you replace what you have?
Okay, so the next guy, Ndamukong Suh, no.
No, I wouldn't.
Dez
no.
Bryant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that's no shot to receivers, but Cecil's a free agent too, right?
Yes.
And so, and nothing, I mean, I love Cecil, but I don't think Cecil's Dez Bryant.
No.
Or Demaryius Thomas.
Well, I'm going to give you a list of the guys, and you tell me which ones would be the best fits here. Ready? I just named those guys. Julius Thomas, Justin Houston, Devin McCourty, Greg Hardy, DeMarco Murray, Chris Harris.
Is Greg Hardy even going to be able to play?
Jason Pierre-Paul, who is playing at a high, high level again.
Yep. But New York's not going to let him go.
Randall Cobb.
There's no way that the Giants let Jason Pierre-Paul go.
Cliff Averill.
Am I wrong?
I would think not.
I mean, there's no way, unless they have cap issues.
Jordan Cameron. Tight end. Did you like him?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
He could be a guy here.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Brandon Flowers, no. Nick Fairley, who's playing great football, but I wouldn't bring that. I wouldn't bring him in.
Tony, you've been sucked in to looking at 2015.
I did. I got him in.
He got me in.
And then there's
hook, line, and sinker.
And then there's, for all those teams looking for a quarterback, Brian Hoyer could be a free agent.
Oh.
No, he's being franchised by the Browns.
That might have been some of the dumbest stuff. Are we not in the media? Do we not do that all the time?
Well, three weeks ago,
Kirk Cousins.
No, 3 weeks ago, Russell Wilson was the best
top three
quarterback in the NFL, and it was going to be, I think Peter King said, maybe the best player over the next 5 years.
Right?
Isn't that what he said? Something like that.
Something like that.
I don't want to quote him, but I'm paraphrasing something along those lines. Or maybe it was someone in Monday Morning Quarterback. Maybe it wasn't Peter.
It was Peter.
Washington benched Cousins at halftime. Right.
Not only that,
for Colt McCoy.
This guy last year. They were going to trade him for a pick, and he played himself out of it, essentially. Then, when he got in and he did some good things,
Joe Theismann says
he's great. And then he plays himself out of it again. He gets benched for Colt McCoy. But that's what we do in the media. Everybody's knee-jerk, rush these quarterbacks. He's going to be a great player. Trade for him. He's the answer. Trade for him. You are what you are.
That's because in the 24-hour news cycle now, 24-hour sports, Twitter. You guys are desperate to say anything and to write anything.
You're part of this now.
Yeah,
Tony.
You're media too.
Don't act like you're separate now.
I don't do that though.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Maybe you should.
I don't rush guys like that. You know me. I'm when it comes to quarterbacks, I'm.
But you'll say some stupid stuff out there.
I don't ever say stupid stuff.
Let's look around.
It's the football law. The football law comes out of this mouth.
The law. Wait, let's review what was just said. Pete Prisco just told us that what he says is law when it comes to football.
Yeah.
Like the spoken word, the Bible of football is spoken right from God to Pete Prisco.
God didn't say anything about
or whoever. Well, I'm just saying you've anointed yourself as the lawgiver of.
No, I know. All I know is I'm good enough.
I'm
going to
call you Facts. I'm going to call you Moses now because you're the lawgiver.
I like that.
I
know every week I'm good enough to win the copy facts, so I do know that.
Wow. Got him. Let's look around the National Football League yesterday in week 7. Here's a law. Peyton Manning is born to throw touchdowns, and he's done it more than anybody in National Football League history, up to 5-10 now. He passed Brett Favre last night. 4 touchdowns. The Broncos are 5-1. Big win over San Fran.
Is he the greatest quarterback ever, Pete? I know you're a Peyton Manning lover.
But let me ask you this.
Are
we going to hold the Super Bowls against
him? That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's been to 3.
He's won one.
I mean,
his brother's won more than him, so that kind of throws the debate out the window, doesn't it?
But I'm just saying, what he's done is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, what he does is on the football field and his command of the entire game is,
Tony, I don't think
is remarkable.
You know how you always talk about being a self-starter and all that? I don't think I've ever seen a guy ever at that position be as maniacal about the game as he is.
Well, how old is he? 36, 37? How old is
38.
He
38.
Is he 38?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how much longer can he do this, Pete?
I don't know. But
can he do this when he's 40?
But the amazing thing about him, Tony, is he's in that, like last night they won that game. He's in there this morning. I mean, he is in there at 6 o'clock this morning. He's crazy. He is the epitome of playing that position with what he works. If he didn't put the work in, Peyton Manning couldn't be close to being successful. He doesn't have all the tools.
He's just average physically.
Right. He's not fast. He doesn't have a great arm. He wins with his head. His head is the most dangerous weapon in the National Football League.
Yeah, I've always argued he's not, you argue who's the best, him, Tom Brady, yada, 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 Aaron Rodgers, or you compare him to Elway's and the Marinos and the Aikmans and all Montana. Great players. And it's hard actually now to compare, let's say, Manning and a Elway because the game was so different. What they were allowed to do receivers and the way the game was played. I mean, it's a much more friendly passing game now. I mean, the shots those quarterbacks took, you'd be fined and kicked out of the game if you hit a quarterback like right. that now. So it's so different to compare the two. And that's why you see these unbelievable numbers. But in the context of what he does during a football game, in his preparation, in his knowledge, in how he sees things, and it's remarkable.
And he's tough. That's the one thing that people discount with him. He's tough. The guy missed, other than the neck surgery that shelved him for the year, he missed one play his entire career with a broken nose. I mean, he's tough. He is tough. You know, you talk about the numbers being inflated nowadays. That's why I appreciate Marino for what he was. Could you imagine if he had played in this era with that wide open, with that quick release? See, I always like saying I take Marino's release, Manning's head, the toughness of
Elway's physical traits.
Elway's physical ability to move out of pressure. I mean, there's his arm. But it's unbelievable when you watch quarterbacks. And this guy he sees it. And it's not complicated. A guy wrote a story last week and said, defensive coaches he talked to said it's harder to prepare for Kaepernick than it is for Manning. Well, yeah. You know why? Because Kaepernick does all that option stuff and everything else. Manning, when he was in Indianapolis and you played against him,
it's just harder to stop Manning.
2x2. It's 2x1, 2x2. That's all it is. And he just knows what you're doing, and he's going to do what he does and beat you at weight. It's very simple. It's not that complicated.
Six in a row now for the Dallas Cowboys, 31-21 over the Giants. DeMarco Murray, 128 yards. First running back ever to start a season with seven straight 100-yard games. Broke Jim Brown's 56-year-old record.
How many yards total does he have now?
770 or something. He's like
he's just off the pace for the record.
Right. Yeah. He's like 300 ahead of everybody else. But are they beating him to death? Yeah, he's on pace for close to 400 or right at 400 carries. Do you worry about that? It's a lot of carries, a lot of wear and tear. How many carries?
He's a free agent. They're not worried about it.
Right. You're going to beat him up? That's what you do with running backs now. You draft them, run them, beat them up, and get rid of them. Yeah.
The Chiefs had a late field goal, beat the Chargers, who were hot coming in. 23-20 the final there. Chiefs win.
I give Andy Reid credit because I didn't think that Chiefs team very good, and he gets the most out of them.
He's 14-2 coming off byes in his career.
Good coach.
And I think San Diego got caught peeking ahead to Thursday night against Denver. You know, and I said that yesterday, and those guys go, oh, you think that really happens? I said, it happens. It's human nature. You got I know it's a division team, but if it's a lesser division team and you're at home and you got a three-day turnaround to play the team in your division and maybe the team in the conference, I think they got caught peeking ahead, and by the time they got out of it, they realized they were in a game. It was too late.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you peek ahead, I guess, as a player. I was always worried about the defensive end I had to block that Sunday.
But maybe not on Sunday you're peeking ahead.
No, I wasn't like, – no.
Maybe you're not. But
I'm just saying – I'm not saying it doesn't happen, Pete. I'm just saying I don't know how you do that. I mean, I was literally all consumed and concerned with the guy we were playing. And so I don't know how you'd
– You never peeked ahead like you were playing a crappy team and never peeked ahead? If I put you in a lie detector –
No, I really don't know. I don't
– Oh, well, what's the noise?
Think you'd me
like
on that
when
one.
You played the Titans one year when there was a big game. And you played a lesser opponent the week before. You don't think you got. I mean, you went out and played to the best of your ability, but you probably didn't. You might not have prepared as.
No.
No. Okay.
I had a routine. I kept pretty much kept to the routine week in and week out.
You're a self-starter though. Not everybody is.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I don't understand how you even do that. I mean, are you watching film of the next team and not the team you're preparing for?
You might not be.
Yeah, I never did that.
You didn't, but I bet the teams do.
The Lions had two late touchdowns, beat the Saints 24-23.
What is going on with New Orleans?
What's going on down there?
What are they, 2-5?
Did you see
3-4?
Did you see Peyton after the game?
What are they, 2-5?
No, they're 2-4. Yeah.
2-4.
They had a bye. How about that division right now? Were it not for the Mike Nugent miss last week in overtime against Carolina, which ended in a tie, the team at the top of the division would have a losing record. They're 3-3-1. They're 2-4, the Saints. and the Falcons at 2-5, and the Bucs have one win.
It's amazing thing. The Saints are only one game out of the division lead.
It's incredible.
Wow. Game and a half.
You know, here's their schedule, by the way. Here's the Saints' schedule the next 5 weeks. Home this week against Green Bay, at Carolina, and then they got three straight road games against home games against San Francisco, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's not playing well, but those are
AJ Green will be back by then.
That's a tough schedule. Saints are in trouble. Carolina's going to win that division because their schedule is favorable, much more favorable the rest of the way.
9-7 wins it probably.
I think you might get 8-8, 7-9.
Well, they have a tie, so maybe 8-7-1.
Yeah, 8-7-1 or 7-8-1.
Oof, bad.
Buffalo Bills lost both C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson yesterday within 10 minutes of each other. They're both carted off, but Sammy Watkins had a last-second touchdown. The Bills beat the Vikings. This Bills team for real, but
no,
without running backs.
They're 4-3, though.
Defense is good.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. And Orton's playing, I'll give it to him. I mean, I wouldn't want him as my quarterback, but he's playing pretty good football. Sammy Watkins is the real deal now.
Oh, he's a good player, but yeah. No Fred Jackson or Spiller.
Yeah,
that hurts him bad.
That's bad.
Colts continue to roll. We mentioned that earlier. 27 zip.
How does that defense play the way they do?
They're the number two scoring defense in the league now. I think the corners are playing really well.
Go look at the personnel, though.
But the corners are playing. Those guys up front are playing well.
That's what I'm saying. I give them credit.
Yeah.
Chuck Pagano's a heck of a coach.
He is a heck of a coach. They're playing good football. And Vontae Davis and Greg Toler are playing good corner. That helps. Bengals were terrible. The Bengals were terrible yesterday. Awful.
Denver's the best team in the conference.
Easily.
Who's the next best team? Is it the Colts?
I thought it was San Diego. It's got to be the Colts now, yeah. Then New England, probably. But isn't it funny? 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, it changes all the time.
That's why I always say you can't really gauge these guys until after Halloween.
And here's the reality. The Colts really should be 6-1. If they don't, they just blew the end of the game against the Eagles. The Eagles had no business winning that game week two.
Well, yeah. That's the only loss that they have.
No, lost to Denver.
That's right.
Weekend.
That's they got two.
They're 5-2.
We mentioned this one earlier. The Rams faked a punt from their own 18-yard line with 3 minutes to play and held on for a 28-26 win over Seattle. And as you said, in that situation for that St. Louis team, that's the right decision.
Absolutely. I don't think it's the right decision. It's an okay decision. I would not have made it, but it's not the
Pete
right
agreed
decision.
With that.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that decision.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's not the right decision. It's an okay decision.
But for that franchise, and the way Russell Wilson was going up and down the field on him, yeah. What I wasn't okay with is you can tell your runner, please teach your running back. Every coach in this league, they don't teach those situations. Tell him he gets the first down, you go down. Go down. You're not scoring. Mm-hmm. You're not getting extra yards. Go down. Game over.
It's an Auburn running back for you.
Maybe had,
ooh,
himself
the
fantasy.
Little Auburn Alabama shot.
Maybe it was a fantasy play.
Maybe.
He just lost a point for fumbling the ball. Dolphins over the Bears. Dolphins coming in here this coming week. 27-14 winner over the Bears. And Tannehill had a good game.
And Bears have issues in the locker room. A lot of finger pointing.
At Cutler. Yeah. And Brandon Marshall was doing, you know, trying to defuse it, or he was the one pointing fingers at him. Cutler played poorly yesterday. That's not a great Miami team. I don't know if you watched the tape yet.
I haven't watched any tape yet.
Yeah, they're not a great Miami. They have pass rushers. They have some young.
They're good up front.
Yeah, they have some good linebackers. Jelani Jenkins is playing good football for him, but that shouldn't happen. I wonder if Trestman's the kind of coach that can come out from underneath something like that. You know, very cerebral, very mild-mannered, if something like that happens in your locker room, you want
what's to wrong with Cutler?
Pressing, I think. He knows his defense stinks. When you know your defense stinks, it's hard to play quarterback. People don't understand that. You do, but a lot of fans don't. If your defense stinks and you take the field, you're down 10-0, or you know that they're going to give up 28, you press. And when you press, you make mistakes.
That's why it's so important. It is hard. You just got to – I mean, it's the mantra that everyone plays all the time where Gus says, do your job. I mean, as a player, you can't worry about the other side of the ball.
Right.
You just got to go play your game and let them take care of their business. You handle your business.
Right.
It's hard to do,
though.
It's hard.
There's your look around Week 7 in the National Football League. One final segment of Jaguars Monday still to come. We will look at Monday Night Football tonight. We'll preview of the Dolphins-Jags coming up this week as well. You can buy a single-game pass for the JTA Stadium Shuttle Service to and from Jags games and easily avoid parking hassles for locations, prices, and parking lot directions. Visit jtafla.com. We'll wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. Experience a Jags game for as low as $130 for a family of four. Kids 34 inches and under are free. Fans can bring their own food. Youth seats available up to 50% off. Dolphins Jaguars this Sunday.
34 inches and under?
Yes, they're free.
Well, that's cool.
You can bring me. I get a free ticket.
You never have to pay for anything, Pete.
Like when I was a kid.
Can you even ride the rides at Disney?
When I was a kid, I couldn't. It was
how old were you before you could ride the rides at Disneyland?
22 before I could get on the
22 years old.
Sorry, finish your read.
Funny. Jaguars.com/more. That was worth it. Or call 633-2000. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat.
All right, I'm going to before we get out of here, I'm going to go through some Jaguar grades from Pro Football Focus, Tony, and you tell me you watch the tape so far. Offensive lineman, because I know you love this. Gave Jokel 2.5.
Plus?
Yeah. 1.3 in pass protection plus.
Uh-oh.
What in the run?
I don't see his rush grade here, so I don't know.
He was better in the run. I thought he did a
Beatles,
really good job.
Beatles, 2.1 plus. Bowanko, 0.5 minus.
Minus?
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Linder, 2.6 plus. 1.5 in the pass block.
What's the highest you can be?
No, it ain't 2.6. It's about.
Linder played really well.
And then Pazder 2.0. So they think that Linder played barely better than Jokel.
I thought Linder and Pazder were the best.
All right. Then on the defensive side of the ball, by the way, Denard Robinson is in the red.
What? How do you have a guy in red? Because
they gave him a minus 5.3 in passing game.
That's ridiculous. Who does this?
I knew I'd get you going.
Who does this?
I knew I'd get him going.
What's the sighting? It's Pro Football Focus.
Yes. The highest grade on defense was for Telvin Smith.
Yeah, he played. He had a sack, forced fumble, interception.
And the
tackle for loss.
The highest grade on the defensive line was Cedric Marks.
He was very good, too.
Miller got a plus grade. JT Thomas got a plus grade. Puzlesny got a plus grade. Red Bryant got a minus grade. Chris Clemens continues to get minus grade.
Why did Chris Clemens get a minus grade? I thought he played well.
1.3 in the minus pass
rush.
That
makes no sense.
Did he have a sack?
Yeah.
And I thought he played well.
And the corners, minuses for – no, they got pluses. All of them got pluses.
Yeah, they should. The quarterback was like 8 for – or 12 for like 38.
Clotz was barely a plus. I'm trying to look for McCray.
All right, this is bad radio.
No, it's just because I know I get you mad.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't know what they're looking at.
When I go back and watch the tape.
First of all, every offensive lineman should have been a plus because they rushed for 185 yards.
Whenever. Yeah, but that's not how they probably go plus
how
minus every play.
They look at every single guy.
No, I understand that. I watched the tape. They all were very. They played good in the run. You don't rush for 185 unless you're doing a good job up front.
Well, individually, grade each guy then.
I'm not going to do that. I refuse
scale
to.
Scale to 5.
It. I'm not doing that. I'm not grading. No.
I'll be honest with you.
I'm not going to do it.
I'll look at their grades.
Why? Well, I'm not. That's not. First of all, it's not fair. I'm not their coach. I don't sit there. I don't sit there. I watch the tape, so I have an idea.
You can tell if a guy plays good or bad.
Yeah, but I'm not. I don't sit there.
You can't grade each.
I'm not going to grade their guy. I'm not going to do that. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to Luke Buckus. He's their coach. Let him grade.
Well. But that's what we do, Tony.
When it comes to the offensive line, I'm overly set. I'm not going to do that because it's not fair.
You can't give them a grade of a plus minus on a play because you don't know what their assignment is.
That's fair.
First and foremost. Yeah. You don't. You have an idea what their assignment is. You don't know. They don't. They certainly – you know better than they know. Do you know?
Listen, I'm not going to grade this. I'm not going to do that.
That would be great radio every week if we came in and got
Tony
Baselli's lineman grades.
Yeah. No, I am not going to do that.
Hour 2 is grading offensive line with Tony Baselli.
I used to give the group a grade.
You're an idiot, too. you're barely better than these guys.
I know I'm better than those guys. I go back and watch them.
What do they look at, Pete?
I don't know.
Doing it?
I don't know.
What would you give a grade for this group, Pete?
I haven't watched the tape, so I'm not going to grade it. I can't tell from the TV tape. They go. This is graded off the TV tape, by the way, because they don't have the access to the 22.
Which is ridiculous. Right. Trying to grade an offensive line off the TV tape because they're not following the offensive line.
But they do go back and regrade it after watching the TV after watching the all 22.
All right, Joe's bored with this conversation.
it's good because
Joe's giving me the Humpty Dumpty.
Joe's not the only one. Let's put it that way. Wow. Monday Night Football, Texans Steelers.
Yeah, because what you have to say is really dynamic.
2-3-3 teams tonight. Exciting Monday Night Football.
No, but it's a must win.
For who?
Both.
The Texans aren't going to do anything.
But if they're going to be hanging around, they got to win. Just like Buffalo's 4-3, to get to 4-3, got to hang around.
All right, fair enough.
Both of them. Got to get to 4-3.
Yeah, that's fair.
If the Texans go into Pittsburgh and win tonight, major red flag for the Steelers.
Is Tomlin on the hot seat?
Could be. Steelers don't fire coaches, though.
They never do.
Todd Haley has to be.
He will be. He will be. If he has a bad offensive,
he'll be the sacrificial.
If they have a bad offensive game plan tonight, he's in trouble.
That's Monday Night Football tonight. Upcoming schedule for the Jaguars off tomorrow on
the
field.
That's all we're doing on Monday Night Football. That's it? That's the big breakdown.
It's the only game tonight. What do you want? You hated the game. You want to talk about it some more? Go ahead. Let's hear about the Texans run game.
We're playing music and Monday Night Football.
He'll grade other people's offensive
line. Yeah, let's grade the Houston offensive line.
He'll grade other people's offensive line.
I haven't watched them. I'm going to watch tonight.
Well, what do you want to talk about the game then?
Well, I think it's the one intriguing thing is you get a chance to see the best defensive lineman in football play, and that's fun to watch.
And it's always fun to watch Ben Roethlisberger play quarterback when he's allowed to.
And you got a great receiver and great running back. I mean, there's some compelling parts of this game, and for you to pass over it like that,
it's always
when we're playing the music, I thought was not very good.
Watching J.J. Watt is always a treat. Always.
Oh, it's great.
He plays hard every single
How play. Far away is Clowney from getting back?
Next week.
And if you,
go ahead, Tony.
Any regrets with the Texans taking?
Of course
Clowney?
They do. They should have taken Bortles. Yeah. I said it at the time. I would have taken Bortles.
Can I get to the Jags schedule this week now?
Yes.
Tony, is that allowed? Upcoming schedule for the Jaguars off tomorrow on the practice field Wednesday,
and that's different from how every other
it's
week.
Not
okay.
Just
so make sure.
Just informing. You can watch Jaguars.com for the latest from Everbank Field.
Now you want to break down the day off tomorrow for us?
There's like four community events I can go through if you want.
That's very important. Yeah. This team does a lot of the community.
You can watch it on Jaguars.com tomorrow.
All right.
It's a nice teaser, Tony. That's what they call it in the business.
You're a tease.
I am.
Joe's the tease.
The guys who aren't a tease are the guys at Timeout. Fat Tony and Paul Spicer standing by. What's up, fellas?
Hi, guys. Look, I just want to apologize to you, JP, and Tony for having to do 2 hours with Pete on a Victory Monday. He just tried to bring down everything tonight.
That'd be downer.
Pete.
What are you talking about?
In, you want to talk about the draft. You want to talk about cutting Puzzlesny because he's
true,
hurt.
Fair. Yeah,
I mean, come on, man. Give them 2 hours of something bright on the day after they get their first win of the year.
Well, you clap for him, you move on. What do you want? What do you want? Right?
Pete, when are you ever happy?
I'm happy. I'm the happiest guy in the world, Paul.
Let me explain something. I'll tell you when Pete's happy. When something is good for him, that's when Pete is happy.
Well, yeah, that's first and foremost. I'm not going to deny that.
I'm just saying, if it's good for
Pete, almost in all
if
ways.
It's good for Pete, it's good for Pete.
I admit it. Everybody else just hides it. I admit it.
Oh, I know you do, Pete. I wouldn't have it any other way, by the way. This is who you are. I wouldn't want you to fake anything. I get it. This is Pete Prisco. I do want to say to both of you guys, you nailed it as far as what they needed to do to at least help with this run game and get it going a little bit, run that, you know, the 11 where you have one tight end and one running back and run it from more of a spread formation because it worked like a charm yesterday for this Jaguar team.
By the way, I did.
Maybe Jed should consult those before.
I was one of the few guys in the national media or anywhere who picked the Jaguars to actually win the game outright.
Shocking.
I did.
No, I'm just not shocked by that at all.
Why?
This team doesn't get any respect anywhere.
But I was surprised. I thought more people would pick them to win.
Well, that'll do it for Jaguars Monday.
They said I'm negative. You want me to stay on and be negative on your show? I can rain on that parade, too.
All we know tonight.
All we know you can. All we know you can.
All we do know tonight is that Pete Prisco can get in the stadium free because he's 34 inches.
That's right.
Shorter.
I'll be here.
You know what the problem with that is, though? You're more than 34 inches wide. I wonder if they have a restriction
on
that.
Don't make me use that sport coat ad. Sports coat, sport coat, sports coat, sports coat, sport coat, sports coat.
Just because
Frozen Bloom, sports coat.
I don't want to know if Pete played any sports growing up. Did you play any sports, Pete? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
Not softball, we know.
Bowling does not count.
No, I wasn't a bowler. You know what bowlers are?
You look like
are?
A bowling ball, though.
You know what bowlers are?
You kind of do. Your head's the biggest one.
My head's big?
Your head's big.
Whoa.
Wow.
Coming from Baselli?
Your
helmet
big.
Was like 7 7/8. What are you talking about?
I'm 6'7", 320 pounds.
How big was your helmet?
You're 5'3", 250.
How big was your helmet?
Your head's
how big
big
was your helmet when you put your helmet on?
7 7/8.
Paul, how big was your helmet when you played?
Oh, man.
He has a pea head.
7 7/8 is a big helmet, right, Paul?
Wait a minute, Tony. I ain't on pea head.
Yeah, you do.
Paul, is 7 7/8 is a big helmet, right?
Yeah, but Pete.
Tony got a noggin now. he knows. He has a dome.
I have a big head, but I got a big body. Unlike you, Pete.
Yeah. Plus, you
a
got
a big head.
Plus, Tony has the brow that hangs over that makes the helmet look even.
I haven't seen his eyes in 3 years.
You know the good thing is, you know the good thing about that is, I'm not going to argue any of it. But the bottom line is, I got one woman who thinks it looks good, and that's all that matters.
On that note,
me too.
On that note, that'll do it for Jaguars Monday. Let's send it over to timeout with Fat Tony and Paul Spicer.